I invite you to turn to the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 23. I saw last week Pastor Ron had something from the New Testament book of Romans, and I thought, oh, that's good. I can do something from the Old Testament this week. And Jeremiah 23. I'll tell you, though, Jeremiah is one of those books we probably don't turn to and read often. I was part of a men's Bible study, and they were in the book of Jeremiah. And that just seemed to be go on and on and on. And Jeremiah kept saying the same thing over and over. But those guys had the perseverance to get through it. And I appreciate the fact that they did. But it's one of those books that are kind of tough and that we kind of shy away from. But Jeremiah 23 is one of those chapters that is a very powerful chapter. And I invite you to listen as I just read the first 8 verses of it. Listen to this word of God to us as His people. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. And notice the next couple verses are kind of as a poem or poetry as it's set off. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. Just a little glimpse of what Jeremiah writes. People loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the beginning of a brand new year. We say Happy New Year, and for many of us, the transition may be gradual as we move on to the year 2024. We may not think too much about the changeover. It's a new month and a new year. Life continues on. You got to make sure the calendars are out. And it was yesterday I was thinking, oh, I haven't put all the dates on my calendar like I typically do. So I have to do that yet, even though we're a week into it. But as we begin 2024, let me ask you a key question. What is the focal point for you as you look ahead to 2024? As you think of a major emphasis and major issues in your life, what is the major focal point that you have before you as we enter this new year? Now, your mind might be thinking, as mine does too, is that, well, we have so many issues. There are so many focal points that I have to think about. Maybe like me, you too have many in which you think of, well, I'm going through some health issues and I've got some health concerns. And whether it's for yourself or someone else in your family, those are major issues and they can easily hold our life and grasp us and take us to just be concerned about that one thing. Maybe there's an issue in your family, in your relationships of parents and children and grandchildren. Again, it may be important and something that, again, controls our minds and our thinking and our responses. Or maybe it has something to do with work. Maybe if you're retired, you don't think about it, but there are many things in life that are related to the employment and work. If you're an employer, maybe thinking about where work is coming, how much work is coming, what your employees are doing. If you're an employee, you may think about, how much work will I have, or what will happen, or shall I find another job? And all these questions come up. We know that life brings many issues to us, and many things can sort of hold our mind and our attention and what's within our heart as we live day by day. But I want to suggest that you keep one focal point before you in this new year. And I want to suggest that it becomes so important to you that it holds you and grounds you. Most of us being in church on Sunday morning at this hour, we know that we are here because we have a faith in God and the work of Jesus Christ. That, again, is such an important aspect to us. And I encourage you not to lose sight of that. If Jesus lives within you, let it be evident. Or maybe you're here and you've got questions and you're wondering about, what is this Christian faith? What is this thing that the Bible talks about? Who is this Jesus and what has He done? Again, it's good to ask those questions. It's good to try to find some resolution of that so that you can respond to Him. And I encourage you in that respect. But again, what I'm suggesting here, and to have a focal point, is not like a New Year's resolution. I've lived through enough years of that, of saying, I'm going to try to make this change in my life. And then a few weeks down or a month, and I give it up and don't have that. I heard just recently that January 17th, so 10 days from now, by then most people who have made resolutions have given up on them. So if you still haven't made a resolution and you want to keep it, you got 10 more days at least until you finally say, I can't do this. I don't want to do that, because we often find and we hear, we can't always make those changes that we want. But we can set before us those focal points that are so important. That whether it's the first thing in the morning or throughout the day or at the end of the day or whenever we're puzzled, we keep coming back to that focal point of life. We come back to it and it gives us something of support and strength as we go through this life. And so I want to just suggest that as we begin this new year, we listen to what Jeremiah says and the focal point that he brought before the people when he did so. Now, maybe you're familiar with Jeremiah and what times he is writing. He's writing to the people of the southern tribes. The northern 10 tribes have already been taken away and have been conquered by Assyria. But Jeremiah is one of those prophets that God sent to the people in the south, the two tribes that were left. And God sent prophets whenever his people, those people he had entered into a covenant with, turned away from God. And when they turned away from the commandments and from the covenant and that special relationship, you read through the Old Testament, God established his relationship called a covenant with his people. And they were to live by it and they were to live out of that covenant. That was their focal point, our relationship to God and what he said to us. But if the people didn't, God would often send them prophets who would call the people back to God, who would encourage them to turn from their evil ways and their choices that they have made. Well, there was a lot of prophets that were sent way before Jeremiah. We might call them the first batch of prophets. Because when they came and told the people, and the people still had a sense of who God was and what he was doing. That when they heard that call, that many of them would repent and turn back to God. But it's different when it comes to Jeremiah's time. The people and the generation he's in had heard the message over and over again. And so when Jeremiah comes, and what does he say? You people have sinned. You have gone your own way. You have to return and repent to God, or else he will bring judgment upon you. Jeremiah has to come with that message of that judgment of God was inevitable. It was coming. It was near. And the people in their own hearts had become so hardened by hearing the words, hearing the message, making no change. They heard Jeremiah's words, but it had no impact on them. Granted, there may have been some that heard and responded, but Jeremiah's words over and over again was about their ways and how they could repent, but there was no turning back that judgment that was going to fall upon them for their sinfulness. The judgment had fallen upon Israel, the 10 tribes under Assyria. Now Babylon was going to come against the two tribes and led the power and the message and judgment of God. Now what a tough message that is. It's like Jonah when he went to Nineveh and had to say, 30 days and God's going to come with judgment here. Jonah turned away from that at first, but then he went after that experience with the fish and being thrown overboard. Here Jeremiah has that message, and if you read through the book, it's a repetitive message about their sinfulness and what was going to happen on account of it. I don't know how you respond to that. I mean, I turn off hearing that often. If I hear it so often, I don't want to turn into that and think about that. And yet, as I live, we need to hear that. In our times, we still see much that is not good in our land. We hear much that is bad news. We see little hope at times from the government or from the sources around us to bring change into this world that you and I live. And we find at this time that there might just be sad results. And we're saying, what is God going to do in our nation and in our communities? What is He going to do in this time in which we are in? And that's where the focal point comes in. The focal point of what the prophet prophet Jeremiah said to God's people at a time like that. The words of the prophet in chapter 23 have to do about with the failure of the leaders. Woe to the shepherds, he starts, who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. It's not just in chapter 23. You can go back to chapter 21 and chapter 22 here in this chapter, and as well in chapter 24. There is the failure of the leaders, the kings who sat on David's throne to rule, to care for the people. They too had heard the message of God, but had done more to scatter the people and show little concern for the very people that God had put under them. In fact, the kings that are probably referred to in the chapter 23 where it was were the sons of Josiah. Josiah was godly and had sought to do what God wanted. But then his son, the next son, Jehoahaz, was only there 3 months as a king. And what can you do there in 3 months? Another son, Jehoiakim, reigned 11 years. And again, not very good years. And then there was another, Jehoiachin, who reigned only 3 more months. And Zedekiah was the last king before the exile, and he reigned 11 years. Again, you've heard those names maybe, and it's not important to remember all this fact, but the sense that they had been given a task by God, but they had failed. They had not done as God had called them to. God's people were scattered. They were sent here and there, and they were not cared for. How difficult it was, and you can sense some of that in what Jeremiah himself had to face as the one who experienced the wrath of the people and the kings coming against him for what he was saying. And yet Jeremiah is able to say, God is at work. God is going to bring His people together. And that's where we get the thought of the remnant, of God gathering His people who have been scattered in various places. And it may seem like the end from all that Jeremiah says, but there is that hope and that glimmer of what God is still going to do as He takes the brokenness and brings something out of it. And in the verses that we read, I hope verses 5 and 6 stick out. They are verses that again speak about the one, like Isaiah did, who is going to come and show something new. For in those two verses of chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, it's about the branch who's going to come in the line of David, who's going to reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Now here are people who have heard what Isaiah had said before. You can go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and 11. You might have heard those words around Advent time. We often consider those just prior to Christmas, about how God's people are like a stump, that a tree that has been cut off and there's just a stump left. And we think it's the end. We think there's nothing of life left in it. My wife and I, we had a tree cut down in our backyard of our home in Zealand there, and thankfully, nothing has grown from it. And I don't want anything. I want it cut off and I want it stumped and out of there because we had other plans for that area. But when you think of a stump, you say, there's no life in it, is there? And yet, Isaiah said it to the people of his day. Jeremiah says it to the people of his day that from this, God is going to raise up for David a righteous branch. Now, granted, Jeremiah doesn't talk about the stump. That's what Isaiah says. It's like a tree that has been cut off. But there was even other words beside that that remind the people. You can go back even earlier, Job chapter 14. Interesting thought. Job writes about his sufferings, his troubles, and he uses this idea of a stump, of a tree. Let me just read a few verses, verses 7 through 12. Job says, "At least there is hope for a tree." He's thinking of his own life and how there's very little hope. But he says, "If you cut it down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea or the riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise." So again, Job had that sense of, yeah, a tree stump might look dead, but if it's got the scent of water, if you water it, there might be some life that comes out of it. But not for our human life, which dies and becomes nothing. And it's those words also that bring out Jeremiah's words to bring out that from God's hand, a shoot, a righteous branch is going to grow. I've seen trees, and maybe you have too, that almost appear to be dead, and yet there's these suckers, as I call them, that grow out of the root or out of the branches and show forth that there's still life in that stump. And it's that thought that Jeremiah brings that to a kingdom that looked like it was at its end, there was going to be a branch, a righteous branch coming out of it. And this would be a king who would reign wisely and do what is right and just in the land. And then he says, and the name of this one, at the end of verse 6, is that it will be the Lord, our righteousness. I hope you catch that phrase and that name that is given. You see, Zedekiah, who was the last king of Judah, his name, if you translate it from the Hebrew, means my righteousness is Yahweh. So again, the king should have, by his very name, said, my righteousness comes from the Lord. But that was not true of Zedekiah. It was not true because he was focused upon himself, upon his own ways, upon what he could do. And yet Jeremiah writes of the one who was coming, and his very name would say, the Lord, our righteousness. From the God himself would come that righteousness that would be something for the people, something that they would show forth as they know this one who is the branch and who sits under his rule. Now, I hope you sense this is more than just some Old Testament history or a lesson for us to remember on a day like this, this first Sunday of the year. I hope it's a reminder to us of God and his work. Because really, this is the story of the entire Scriptures. About how God made something good. And yet, the good that God made has been broken. Broken completely. But God comes and takes that which is our need and makes something new out of it. You and I find it when we've sensed in our own heart and life, this is my need. This is what I truly need. Yes, I need air to breathe. I need food to eat. I need to rest and sleep. I need to worship and understand God. But what about my sins? What about my wrong things I have done? And from such a need, we realize the problem we have. And if you've been like me in your lifetime saying, well, maybe I can do it myself. Maybe I can make something better out of my life than what the other person does. Now we find also that the only way is to turn to God, to look to Him, to call upon His name, to find out how He has come to meet us in our need and to help us in our greatest need. And as I said, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who by His life and ministry, by His death and resurrection, He provides for us. Here's the gospel message, that from our death, from our being nothing, comes out of it life by this righteous branch, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning I would like to have us think about that. It's a call that comes to us if you have even what appears to be hopelessness in your life, and you have much of it. There is always hope because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And what we find in Him is that He calls us to acknowledge Him as the one true God. Not only to acknowledge Him, but to confess His name, to confess our need of Him, to turn from our sins and to say, my way is not good. I need to walk in your way, Lord Jesus Christ. And we find as we turn our eyes to Jesus and believe in Him, the truth of that gospel, here is life for us. Here is that new righteous life coming to us through the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah talks about the name of this branch as the Lord, our righteousness. I think Paul picks that up when he writes to the church in Corinth and says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, these words that here Christ Jesus is the wisdom from God that is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. So when you look at Jesus, you are looking at the righteousness that God provides for you and me. When we look to Jesus, we find the holy person, the holy Son of God. And that too provides us with the holiness through the work of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. And He too is our redemption. This our new story coming to pass as we think of the work of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And so many today hear of a God who forgives, who sort of overlooks sin. But you and I know that's not true. Yes, Jesus helps us and points out how forgiveness can be gained as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and God redeems us out of His mercy. But sadly, people today do not hear about the fact that if they don't turn to Jesus and if they don't look to Him, God's judgment still is upon them. There's still that judgment that we have to face for our wrongs and what we have done. And as I begin this new year, and I want to encourage you to think about that as the focal point of your life. This righteous branch, this shoot, this new tree that was coming out of a cut off, sawed off stump is bringing life to you and to other people in this world. Let that be the focal point of what your life is still about, because it brings out how God has provided for us in our greatest need. And He has done so through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the church in Rome in which he calls Jesus the root of Jesse will spring up. Romans 15, verse 12. And the nations will be drawn to Him. It's happened for you and for me, I trust, that we've been drawn from our different backgrounds to Jesus and find in Him that here's the root of Jesse given for us. Or in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we find some interesting passages there too. In chapter 5, verse 5, it says about Jesus that there was this scroll that no one could open, but the elder says to John, do not weep. Notice the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. How is Jesus talked about? The root of David. That which goes down underneath the stump, underneath the tree, and brings life out of it. Or in the last book, Revelation 22, in the last chapter, verse 16, Jesus identifies Himself when He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Again, our Savior was mindful of the fact of His role and His place as the root and what would bring life out of a seemingly hopeless situation. And that is for you and for me also, to find in Him all that is necessary. He is the one we focus on. He is the shepherd who comes to care for us, the Savior who is Lord and God. He is the one who brings hope to us in this new year and through the good times and the hard times of it. And so if you have this focal point, you know I rest in Jesus. I find my help in Him. Just as Jeremiah was trying to encourage the people in his day to find their help in the Lord, in His work. You and I know more than Jeremiah as we have the New Testament, thankfully. And yet we still live in times in which there is so much need, and there are so many people who are trying to make it through life without that focal point. You and I not only have it and receive it, must live in it and deal with it daily, but also share it with those around us. Because what other hope do we have when things are in such dire, such straits, except that which Jeremiah brings out? There's going to be this shoot, this branch, and it's going to bring life to that tree that God has established. And so I challenge you, have a focal point and focus on it often, each and every day, different days of the week. Yes, you maybe not always have to think about it, but we always come back to it as a source that will give us that which we need. And may you be blessed as we walk into the new year, 2024, with that. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, thank you for being our righteousness. And thank you for that illustration that Jeremiah brings before us of how valuable that branch that points to the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. As we enter this unknown year, what's going to happen? So we may have fears and other things that control us, Father, we thank you that you grant unto us your peace and your hope as we find it in Jesus. And so, Father, for your people here in Overijssel, provide for them, each and individually, but also as a congregation. May they find in this year opportunities to serve, to learn, to grow. May they too continue on, as we all must, living in light of Jesus. In his name we ask this. Amen.